Now we're cooking.
On. We're live. Well, again, thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. In your packet, you should have a cover letter and, I believe, two sheets attaching. I think it'd be easiest for the members if I used, I believe, the second sheet, which has titled House Health Policy and Finance Committee 2005 Capital Budget Request Summary, Governor and House Bills, February 7, 2005. And it has in the left column a listing of the Health and Human Services Finance Priority. And I'll use that as a basis and walk you through that fairly quickly and answer any questions you may have. The other sheet is helpful in terms of knowing something about what was in the House bill previously that we passed last year and also what the governor's recs were. And I will, as I go through this, I'll share with the committee where the governor's recs were on each one of these items.
That sounds good, Chair Bradley.
Okay. Just taking them in order. Well, let me first of all sort of frame. We have two agencies. We have the Department of Human Services that had projects brought to us, and we had the Veterans Affairs Organization that had projects brought to us. And then we did have a couple of individual bills from, actually, I think three, Representative Nornes, Representative Junkie, and Representative House had three individual bills. Now I'll review those as I go. In the case of the agencies, we kept the order of priority that the agencies had. And I think you could probably put it in this general context. The highest items on our list are what I might characterize as public safety, and when I review them, you'll see what I mean by that. I think the next is sort of asset preservation, protecting what we do have. And then from there on, we sort of trail and track to the order of priorities that were made by the individual agencies, and of course, there's some places where they intersperse. So let me begin with the first item that we have for priority. And that is the new facilities expansion of 150 beds at St. Peter for the sex offender program. And that is really a public safety issue. We have additional people coming out of incarceration and other kinds of situations where these are people that are civilly committed to these programs, but we are running out of capacity. So that's building additional capacity to handle those people. Priority number two is a forensic nursing facility, and this is another phenomenon that's begun to hit us, and this is the case of people who need who have the characteristics of being potentially dangerous, either as sex offenders or mental illness issues, but have reached age where their services are need to be delivered in a nursing home setting. So that's the second item. And by the way, in those first two, the recommendation on the right column that the committee made in terms of amounts are the same as what the governor's. Both of those, the governor made the same recommendations of $3.259 million in the sex offender program and $12.6 million in the case of the forensics nursing home. The third item is asset preservation on the Veterans Home Board. Again, there, the $6 million matches what the governor proposed. The fourth item is system-wide redevelopment. This is in the case of human services. And this is sort of, for those who are familiar, the Department of Human Services is on course to close down, minimize, resize the regional treatment centers that we have at places like Wilmer and Service Falls. And this $6.15 million, which, by the way, the governor also has, is to handle those as the community agreements occur, and they are sort of emerging more and more from each of those communities. This money would be used then for demolition, reuse, those kind of projects in those locations. The fifth item is human services, and this is kind of under the asset protection, but this is in book repair. And again, the governor has the same number of $1.014 million. The sixth item is under human services, and this is the asset protection repair maintenance for the remaining facilities at our regional treatment center. And the governor also has $4 million, just as the committee recommended. The seventh item is a proposal made by the Veterans Home Board for an adult daycare at the Minneapolis facility. And the committee recommended the same amount as was requested. The governor did not fund that proposal. The eighth item is Silver Bay. The governor did not fund that 1.463 proposal. And by the way, the amounts there, as you can see, the request in 2004 is slightly below, and that's basically because of inflation. Those were just adjusted upward for inflation. Item number 9 is the recommendation that was in the governor's proposal and was also in Norris's bill, and that's for a dementia facility at Laverne, and that's supposed to be funded at $306,000. Item number 10 is an update to the Minneapolis kitchen, and in that case, the governor did not fund the 1.751 that we show. In order of priority, number 11 is a Fergus Falls special care treatment against for Alzheimer's and dementia, and the governor did not fund the $2.526 million. Item number 12 is a proposal made, in this case, by Representative Junkie for a specific use of that demolition, rebuild, and so forth at Wilmer. And you see a little bit of a footnote that that project overlaps with that was ranked at number 4. Not entirely, but at least the demolition part of the number 4 would be an overlap to this. The Junkie proposal does have some additional money in it for actually some building. Number 13 is a specific proposal made by Representative Howes. And this is a specific proposal for a forensic nursing home, and that one also overlaps with the item that was ranked number 2. It is, I would just tell you that the position of the Department of Human Services is that the Arbutin site is in the mix for the possibility. This one would have said specifically that. And then finally, the last item is a proposal for the Hennepin County Medical Center for an intervention for people with mental illness issues, and the governor did not fund. And I guess I should have said the governor did not propose funding any of those on that final page. And, Mr. Chair, members, I stand for questions.
Representative, thank you, Chair Bradley. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bradley, did your committee discuss the marking of the graves?
Senator Bradley.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, we had no proposal before us for that.
There was no
Representative
bill.
Murphy.
Representative Bradley, there was no bill this
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, that's correct. And nobody talked to us as chair. We actually, we accommodated at the last minute a couple of proposals, and even after, I've not heard anything from that.
Thank you. Are there other questions for Representative Bradley? Representative Mahoney.
Who had this mic before me? Mr. Chair and Representative Bradley, you alluded to the fact on House File 458, the Aquachin and the forensic nursing facility, there's an overlap. Can you explain that a little bit more? I can see there's a dollar overlap, but what happens to the other $3 million in your proposal?
Representative Bradley.
Sure, Representative Mahoney, that's an item, fair question, and let me just give you the best shot I can, and then if you have additional. If you look at the item number that we ranked number 2, which is the forensic nursing facility, you see a figure of $12.6 million. $12.6 million is the worst case, building virtually from scratch, if you will, a 50-bed facility to handle these cases, these nursing home cases of people that have the characteristics of dangerous, whether sex offender or mental illness. At this point, there are probably at least 3 or 4 options on the table, ranging all the way from maybe somewhere around $1 million if it could be done in Anoka. The Arbutin project is another potential project. Whether I don't know whether the 9-point-some million would be the right figure, because there's some question about that, but it's at least it's legitimately in the mix. There's another potential. I think St. Peter was another one. So the department really views the Arbutin proposal as one of the possibilities, and they're still working through the community agreements, those kinds of things. Frankly, I think the committee, and we spent a fair amount of time discussing this, struggled a bit with not having a specific design, although we could get a design for a 12.6 facility. However, we're hopeful, of course, that it'll be one of the lower costs. But the need of the people coming out and fitting this is such that we've got to protect the public. And I don't think any of us want to be in a situation where we have, as has happened in one of the nursing homes, where a sexual offender was placed and did some things that were harmful to society. So I would admit to you that the 12.6 is a holding spot of worst case. It could be any one of three or four different projects that ends up being the actual project, including the Agua Chain.
Representative Mahoney.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Bradley. That brings up an interesting point. I don't really have a... I guess I just don't want it in my district, so I don't want to get too far down the road.
Well, that's one of the reasons why it's hard to get this completely cited.
Yeah. But you mentioned that everything from Anoka, the Anoka facility for $1 million to the building it up out of the ground someplace out in the... That it'd be welcome. The 12.6, would you be able to provide the committee those three or four options just so that, and I don't need it today, just for further deliberations or to hold up another member, he's not smiling.
How's about that?
Representative Mahoney, I saw some heads nodding in DHS over there, and I think Mr. Tester or somebody would be happy to get those with you.
Be great. Thank you very much. Representative Murphy, are you done?
I'm done.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Bradley, I said forensic nursing facility, and you've talked about that and where it might be, and that it's the second priority. What impact will that have on the budget, for the operating budget?
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe in the operating budget, we do have expanded operating budget for the 150-bed sex offender, and I don't remember. Maybe I'm going to have to seek some help to be sure about the forensic nursing home. Sorry about that. I just don't want to give the incorrect answer.
Thank you. Please identify your tape. Please identify yourself with tape and help us answer the question.
Mr. Chair, my name is Mike Tessner. I'm the Chief Executive for State Operative Services, Department of Human Services. The current biennial budget for the Agua Chain Nursing Home includes the component that is the forensic nursing home. We don't anticipate needing additional operational dollars to beyond this next biennium. Now, having said that, the forensic population has been growing in a somewhat unprecedented way in the last year, but at this point in time, we believe we're fully funded through this biennium.
Representative Murphy.
But, Mr. Chair, Mr. Tester, let's talk about the future a little past this biennium. They are growing, and it is going to have an impact on the budget. Do you have any idea of how much?
Mr. Tester.
Mr. Chair, Representative, prior to this past year's experience, there was a net growth in the forensic nursing home population of about zero. In other words, we would have people come in every year and people die every year, and the net was about zero. Population would range somewhere between 15 to 25 people at any given time. Now, at this point in this past year, we've seen an increase in that growth that would suggest it may be growing as high as 5 per year. So our bed expansion, the 50-bed facility, is accommodating that bed growth, but our operational budget is still anticipating that we are not going to need additional dollars during this next biennium. So at this point in time, based upon this last year's experience, which I think is a volatile time, we're anticipating about 5 a year. So during this next biennium, we have an operational budget to cover that. If it grows higher than that, in the out years, then we would have to address that down the road.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bradley, you were here when we had to project the budget for operating budget more than this biennium or next biennium. We had to go way out. So you're used to projecting. Has your budget increased, the operating budget, increased in amount, or are you just making do with less for these additional people that we have had in the last year?
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Murphy, as we just said, there's nothing, and of course we tend to focus on the next biennium. It wasn't clear in Mr. Tessner's answer about whether or not anything might be in the tails, and I I guess if I assume that there were 5 or 10 people additionally, and you multiply that times, because these are pretty expensive placements, I wouldn't be surprised if they're $70,000-$80,000 a piece, and I'm not sure about that, but we would be exposed. Now, in a $7 billion budget, I don't know if we would mess with that much in the tails, because that's almost rounding errors. It's worth discussion, but it's probably not something we'd even put numbers in for the tails. I don't know, Mr. Tetzer, that's reasonable. But
Mr. Chair, Representative Bradley, that would be the case. Once again, up until this year, we had a net growth of 0 in the program. This year, we've experienced about 5 people. So projecting that is in fact going to happen 2 years out, I think, is a stretch. So at this point in time, we're anticipating that our operational budget through the next biennium is adequate.
Right. And Representative Bradley, I was just told by our finance person. Revelations in the last 5-6 seconds?
Mr. Chair, I was just told by our finance person that there isn't anything in our tails at this point. So it's probably for the reasons that I said, it's very hard to estimate, and it's numbers that, although still big for a kid from the farm from southwest Minnesota, are pretty small in terms of our budget.
Thank you. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes my questions on that issue. But going back to the first issue of the marking of the graves, there is a bill, House File 349, that was introduced on 120. I don't know that what happened within your committee, but so there was a bill about grave marking, and I think there's still interest from the public on doing that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. We'll take a look at that. We'll see. And I guess I don't know where it was sent or if that was where it was sent, indicating
it
was sent.
Policy and finance.
Okay. Well, we'll take a peek at it. That's why we have the overviews and see if there's any changes we want to make to it as a committee, and we'll, I'm sure, discuss that issue.
Thank
you. We'll mark that down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm remiss. Excuse me. Representative Dean has an inquiry or statement.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Bradley. There's been quite a lot of interest in the forensic nursing facility, both from a construction standpoint. Number one, you do have comfort whether it's an existing facility that's rehabilitated or it's a new facility that it can be constructed 50 beds for $12 million or 12.6. That's
Representative Bradley.
Yes, I'm told by the department that they have gone through enough to understand what the building and its. I think all of us were sort of aghast a little bit about roughly $250,000 a bed, but apparently a normal is about $220,000, and this has to have special security.
Representative Dean. And just again for some of the comfort level of the folks here, you're talking a little bit about Representative Murphy had some question about tails and just about what kind of population this might be, and do some of these folks transition back into a prison system, or just what do these patients look like?
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I suspect that the patients are sort of have a profile, at least from a medical needs point of view, like our typical nursing homes. I mean, there's another dimension, which is their danger. But from a medical point of view, some of these patients are people that have had an operation and need rehab and use a nursing home setting to have some medical coverage for that. Others are, frankly, in age and fragile and actually need sort of 24 hours just like you would in any, and some of them have dementia, other kinds of conditions. So it's the whole spectrum of the nature of the people. The difference is that these are people that, from a society point of view, need, in addition to having the care, they need to be secured.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Representative Bradley. Thank you for taking the time to come and present your recommendations and your committee's recommendations. We appreciate that. There is a quorum present. After reviewing the minutes, does anyone be inclined to... Wonderful. Representative Mahoney will move the minutes of the Wednesday, February 2nd meeting of the Capital Investment Committee. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The minutes are adopted. Thank you very much. Next on our list is Representative Nornes with the recommendation from the Higher Education Finance Committee. Representative Nornes, Chair Nornes, welcome to the bonding committee. Please tell us about your committee's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
before I begin, I'm going to request that you don't hold it against me. I didn't wear a tie today.
We'll note that down, but to the merits on.
You don't have anything in your bill, do you?
No.
Brigus Fall?
No. You should have in front of you our list, I believe, both for Minsky and for the University of Minnesota. The Higher Education Finance Committee decided this year to pass out the same bonding recommendations that they passed last year. With the shortened timeline, we decided that last year's committee was able to give the projects the time they deserved. So we thought using those recommendations would be the most prudent route to take. And we did that with bipartisan support in our committee this year. Last year, each member of the committee was instructed to rank the MinSKU and the University of Minnesota projects. The votes were tallied, and that's the order that you have now in front of you. Every member of the committee had an equal say as to where the projects were ranked. We did not strike any of the projects on the list. And if you look at the language we included, some projects were adjusted and none of them were excluded. We felt that all the projects on the list were worthy. They're all going to help the students of Minnesota. The first priority on each of the systems, MinSKU and also the University of Minnesota's HEPR, the Higher Education Asset Preservation and Restoration, this money is used to repair leaky roofs, fix heating and cooling systems, provide safety measures, and items like air filtration systems and in some of the science buildings. In our MinSKU rankings, our top nine projects match the top nine given to us by MinSKU. These are all phased projects that are needed on these campuses, and the committee saw no reason to change that. Following those top nine, we moved to science, as Bridgman Hall in Bemidji, for example. That'll house nursing programs, and the project at the Purvis Falls campus will improve instructional technology. Numbers 12 through 15, we rank projects that find funding for science and workforce development across the state with system-wide initiatives. We also moved up the projects in Austin, in Albert Lea, and Rochester, in order to help students find jobs in the 21st century in a changing job market. At the University of Minnesota, the committee wanted to put an emphasis on health science classroom space. The Academic Health Center classrooms were a top priority after HEPR, followed by the University of Minnesota Duluth Life Science Building renovation. Kohlhoff Hall, another science building, is fifth on the list in front of you. The fourth priority on the University of Minnesota list is the Educational Science Building. This building will house the researchers who will study how to teach our children. The University of Minnesota has been out in front on issues of student sleeping patterns and the effectiveness of school breakfast programs. Both studies have had national impacts on school start times and free breakfast programs in our schools. One consistent change in last year's committee was to strike out student services additions and athletic facilities. Student services changes were made at Lake Superior College in Duluth and Inverhills Community College in Invergrove Heights. Athletic facilities changes were made at the Morris and Duluth campuses of the University of Minnesota. A committee felt that those projects should be funded by students who will benefit most from those facilities, so they were not included. Another change the committee made was to instruct the University of Minnesota to raise private funds for the planning of business school additions at the Carlson School and in Duluth. And I'm happy to report that the university took us up on that offer and raised private funds for the planning of those projects, and they are not seeking state funding for those facilities at this time, so those items on your list can be struck. And finally, we have representatives of MinSKU and the University of Minnesota here in the audience today, and they will help address any specific questions that your committee might have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Norris. Appreciate it. Representative Peterson seeks recognition. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Explain to me quickly, how did you take the MinSKU list, your item rank 10 and their item rank 19. What's the process that happens?
Representative,
it's the Bemidji project.
The process, the members of the committee were able to rank their projects, and then we got together again as a committee to come up with a final final ranking. And I don't remember the specifics on that, but Representative Fuller was very instrumental in making that change at the time last year. And again, we didn't change it this year.
Representative McNamara, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up to that question, Representative Nornes, was that a weighted, I'm trying to remember, I was on that committee last time, so it was a weighted system, so if one representative put their pet project to the top of the list, it got weighted differently if we wanted to pick on somebody who's no longer here, if they were like in a specific hall, that could happen?
I have the committee administrator, if he's willing to come to the table. I wasn't the chair last year.
They love that so much when you do that. And please, welcome to the committee.
He also didn't wear a tie.
What kind of committee are you running over there, Nornes?
Mr. Chair, he will have a much more specific answer to your question, Representative McNamara.
And he's wearing a nice shade of red as well. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the tape.
Mr. Chair, I'm Mike Miller. I'm committee administrator for higher ed finance here at the House. Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, what we did was had all the members of the committee rank the Minsky projects 1 through 32. We added all the totals together, and the lowest score was ranked first. So Heeper, I think, had a score of, with 12 members of the committee, had a score of 12. Everyone ranked it first. For Bemidji to come up, someone would have had ranked it first. Obviously, it would have been most likely Representative Fuller. It was his pet project, so he probably ranked that number one. So that caused it to jump over a lot of the other projects, having a lower score than other projects that were maybe ranked 8, 9, 10, things like that.
One quick follow-up.
Representative McNamara.
So being a freshman on that committee last year and being the chief author of the Inver Hills project, I probably didn't quite organize my numbers the same way Representative Fuller did. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think
Mr.
that
Miller.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, I think that the Inver Hills project did jump some of the other projects, so you probably did rank it relatively high to get it to move up over the system-wide initiatives.
Thank Representative McNamara.
I wish I had a better memory. Thank you.
There you go. We all do.
On that point,
Representative Solberg, Representative McNamara, you didn't get the right co-author in your bill. Representative Fuller got the speaker and the co-author said it was the number one project in the state, according to the speaker. I hope the speaker feels the same way this year.
Mr. Chair and Representative.
He may.
McNamara. Being ninth on this list is actually a pretty good place to be anyway. And you're still ninth.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Norris, could you share with us some of the discussions that you remember that took place in the schools that had areas for student services that you eliminated the money for the student services and focused on classrooms? Could you share some of that discussion with me?
Representative Nornes.
I wish I could. I don't recall. That was last year. Again, I was serving my first term on, and I don't remember the details of that. I just know that we made the decision that we wanted to prioritize, and we felt that that was not a high priority.
Mr. Chair, Representative Norris, we didn't have new discussions on that this year.
No, we did not.
Okay.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I think must have been all that Representative Stang. Let's blame him. He's not serving the legislature anymore.
Maybe
sure was him.
In further meetings, we can discuss the reasoning.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, again, we felt the students probably would be the best source to help fund some of that through the student fees and so forth. Your committee may see it differently.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there other questions for Representative Norris about the presentation or any projects in specific? Seeing none, Representative Norris, thank you for coming before us with your recommendations from your committee. If we have questions, we'll track you down.
Mr. Chair, I had a lot more to offer if you wanted it, but I assume you don't.
We've got a lot to offer, Di, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you very much, Representative Norris. Next, we have Representative Seifert with the recommendations, or lack thereof, depending on how you look at it, from state government finance. Representative Seifert, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, I have a list of recommendations, as you said, or lack thereof, for the committee to review from the State Government Finance Committee. State Government Finance decided to go with a three-tiered way of doing things. One would be positive recommendation, meaning the committee felt that was a high priority. Neutral, which was we'll send it on to this committee and see if it's something that the committee would really like to do, but not as high as a positive. And then we did, under the House rules exercise, the authority of the committee to give a negative recommendation, which means the Capital Investment Committee would not be able to include a particular project in the omnibus bill.
That's it. Call the Sergeant of Arms and have Representative Opat seized.
Notice there's an eagle on one and a spike on the other, and that one, usually if they do it right, a spike at the top means that the country's at war, and the eagle means that the country's at peace. I'm not sure why we have one of each, but little known fact that I always like to share.
Yeah, no kidding.
the first recommendation or lack thereof committee is the DOT exterior renovation. This is a project the governor recommended at $9.342 million to renovate the outside of the building. The committee took an interesting tact on this and deviated from past experience in that we gave it a recommendation of negative for trunk highway fund to pay for the renovation, but we gave it a neutral recommendation for GO bonding. Upon subsequent investigation with the House researcher, Mr. Williams, and Transportation, as well as the Department of Finance, Mr. Sousen, there is a statute that states the maintenance of the building next door is supposed to be paid out of trunk highway. Representative Solberg brought it up in committee. However, they did say that there could easily be rider language in the capital investment bill to change that. And make the building compete with the Capitol and the State Office Building and the other buildings, and why that one is subjected as a favorite as opposed to the other ones, we're not exactly sure at this point. I would point out to the committee that we did some investigating in the State Government Finance Committee, and from 1992 to 1996, the DOT building next door had $44 million of renovations done to it. I won't go on about what I think of that, but I'm not real pleased that much money was spent on one building, and now we're coming back asking for $9.3 million in addition to the $44 million we've already spent on the Trunk Highway Fund. And this is not Trunk Highway Bonds, this is Trunk Highway Cash. The committee felt, at least the majority of the committee members felt very strongly that if this is a building that is worthy of renovation, that it needs to compete with the other state buildings. The next item is statewide CAPRA. We have a neutral recommendation for $4 million, Governor's Rex. The agency relocation, we decided to go with $2 million. This is general fund because we felt the $2.8 million difference for the human services move could be dealt with in the state government finance bill. We wanted more detailed information, and we wanted to glean through a lot of details of who's doing the move, how much is it going to cost, are we contracting it out, how much is being paid for on lease furniture, how much is being paid for on bought-in furniture. And so I am a very detail-oriented person. We have some detail-oriented members of the committee, and so we felt that we would take that piece and move it into a later bill. The asset preservation for properties was a neutral of $6.6 million. The committee probably felt strongest about giving a negative, I don't know if you can say the most negative, and represent Todd and represent Silver Gummy Committee about the demolition of the Ford building, that we did not want to do that. And so that was given a negative recommendation. We're going to work as a group.
And it's Rayford, I think that's a positive.
Okay. We're going to work as a group on our committee to try to see if we can do something with leasing that building out, potentially have a restaurant in it or office space or what have you. You know, I can imagine that the second and third floors, when you look at what used to be there, and there's a lot of office cubicles and whatnot, if that can be renovated somewhat, I am sure that there are government relation firms who would be more than happy to have an office in a building connected to the Capitol, the SOB by tunnel, and there could potentially be some money to be made there. For the historical significance of it, I'm not comfortable in demolishing that building personally. Representative Kahn and Solberg were on the tour either this year or last year and could maybe add later. Parking, the committee reviewed the parking request from admin. There's a lot of potential problems we have in the future on the Capitol Mall. We are building buildings faster than we can plan for parking spots, and we have a Stassen building and the Elmer Anderson building and all these other buildings that are being built, and we've got, you know, literally tons of employees being moved into this area with nowhere for them to park. This is a modest request of $1.873 million. However, the people who are paying for this, it tends to be user finance bonds. Majority of the committee felt that we did not want to make our people over in this area, because basically the process is that anyone in the Capitol Mall gets assessed user financing for parking. So if you park in the ramp at the SOB here, you will have your parking rates escalate to help pay for parking over on the other side of the Capitol. And the committee felt let the GO bonds pay for it rather than user financing. We have employees who are making $25,000 a year, and to jack up their parking rates to pay for some bureaucrat on the other side of the Capitol probably isn't fair. So we are giving it a neutral recommendation, but we are strongly recommending that this be GO bond, not user finance. Mr. Chairman, the next section is the Capitol Building Repair. We gave it a positive recommendation. This is 2.357 that reflects the governor's recommendation. On a personal note, with the Capitol Building, there was a provision in the Senate bill and something that the Cap Board is interested in on a major renovation of the Capitol, which I think is a good thing. The committee really didn't come upon a firm conclusion, so we just left it out, but Representative Connor Solberg may want to speak to that later. Under Military Affairs, we gave the Asset Preservation and Facility LIFO positive recommendations at $4 million and $1 million respectively. This will help pay for the 63 armories and some small upkeep at Camp Ripley that is needed, and Military Affairs made a very good case for that. The World War II Veterans Memorial was probably given what I think would be an extremely high positive recommendation. This is something passed by the legislature, I believe, three times. Governor Ventura vetoed it once or twice. And last year, of course, we didn't have a bonding bill, but the House had it incorporated in its bill, so we'd like to get that World War II memorial done. The $670,000 will match the private donations collected, according to the Acting Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. It would be just enough money to get the memorial built. And then the individual bills referred to us, other than the World War II memorial, were given negative recommendations by a majority of the committee. And I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier you mentioned with regards to the MnDOT building, the $9 million from Trunk Highway Funds. Just for my purposes, because I'm new here, this is the money from the HUTDF, the 62% from that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, members, my understanding, Representative Solberg helped me out here, I think that's right off the top of the Trunk Highway Fund before any distribution is made. Is that not correct?
Representative Solberg.
For the
transportation
for the,
building?
For the trunk highway. The trunk highway funds that go to pay for the DOT building are taken off the top of the trunk highway fund before any distribution methods, right?
Let's call on John Walls. Your fiscal analyst behind you will help you.
I think we'll use ours first.
Actually, Mr. Walls, I beg
Walls,
you. I didn't see him. He's sitting by Mr. Ames, so there he is.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, you are correct. It would come out of the 62%. The highway user tax distribution fund is distributed to three different purposes, county, city, and the state. This would be coming out of the state's share.
Okay. And the...
Mr. Chairman,
Garofalo. You said that the MnDOT building was $44 million dating back how far?
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Administration provided me with some information. I can just quickly give the committee 30 seconds. The building was built in 1958 for a cost of $8 million. It has a ground, the 8 level with 2 subfloors from 1992 to 1996. Approximately $44 million was spent in renovations of the DOT building, including updating electric power, mechanical and electric systems, including lighting, which we'll get to maybe at another day about the lighting over there, hazardous material abatement, new elevators, windows, and raised floors. The request that they have before us today is mainly exterior renovations. The claim is that the granite siding is ready to fall off. Perhaps my committee will go over and take a look at that. But in talking to the transportation finance
safety for granite
folks, I think that they would like to stop leakage from the trunk highway fund, and so that's what we did is we blackballed the trunk highway allocation and said go GO with it.
Go.
All right.
Real good. Representative Kahn has sought recognition. Representative Kahn.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, I would just like to echo Representative Seifert's comments about the... It's sort of a design for the renovation, continued renovation of the Capitol. And one of the things, if at some point you want to have hear from people in the Cap Board, this has the possibility of saving large amounts of money in the future. Because of the fact of that, instead of watching for what the emergency of the day is, you'd be able to kind of do a plan and put it in place. And it's also really important this year, which is the centennial year for the state capitol, a particularly good birthday present, because one of the things that's happening is a large amount of contacting of private sources to form an endowment fund. And one of the things that people contacting private sources have found out is that they're kind of interested in seeing what the state's doing. And so this, we think that this appropriation would trigger a large amount, a good amount following. And, you know, we probably should have brought it up, but it was in the Senate bill, so we didn't do it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn has a wonderful 60-second story on maybe why we should keep the Capitol in good shape that is an old Henry Kayla story. I don't know if you want to hear it or not, but it's really good.
We would love to hear it. Well, he's right next to my district there. Well, he stopped in my store the other day. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this actually was kind of relevant to the granite panels possibly falling off. At one point when I was on the old State Department's Appropriations Division and we were discussing, and there was an early request, this was in the mid-70s maybe, an early request for the preservation for stabilizing things on the exterior of the Capitol. And, you know, being a very fiscally prudent committee, we were just denigrating the request and we were just saying all kinds of things about wasn't there better, more important ways to spend the state money and so forth. And Henry Kalis, I'm not sure if he was a member at that time, but he later was, he was standing outside with a bunch of constituents in the front of the Capitol, just like the day we had done this or the day after, and as they were standing there, an arm of a figure fell down right next to them. It was either prudence or virtue. I'm not sure. But the committee came back and very rapidly made that appropriation. I think that they had spoken to us. The gods of the Capitol building.
The gods have spoken. Representative Hausman, were you on that point? Or do we have another name on the list?
On this point as to the DOT exterior renovation. And I think my question is to Mr. Walls. Do we have any other area where we have two different committees recommending on the same issue? Because transportation, you'll notice there's going to be a recommendation there. Does that happen is there something about a line item problem here, or how is it that we have two committees that are going to make a recommendation on the same issue?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, there have been instances where two chairs or two committees have claimed ownership of a project. I think WIF funding springs to mind, in that sometimes the Environment Committee wants to make a recommendation, as does Jobs and Economic Development. In this case, the DOT exterior renovation was put forward by the governor in the area or under the agency of administration, and therefore it seems to have a problem with jurisdiction.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Seifert, my question again is about the granite exterior on the DOT building. Did you guys look into what I'm trying to envision $9 million to replace those panels. Did you ever hear what the proposal actually was?
Representative Seifert. Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, we did not get details on the information sheet that was provided to us from admin. There's a detail of the $44 million has certain things. There were furnishings and so forth that was paid out here through the years. And then the last bullet point just says proposed granite panel repairs, $9.632 million. So I don't know if we need to take them off and recycle them into countertops or whatever, but put something else on the exterior of the building if you want to spend $9 million of highway money, or any money, GO or trunk highway. It's just there's got to be a better way of doing this, and my suggestion is to take the granite off and put something else on. I don't know if we can do that. Representative Mahoney, you're in kind of construction. You want you do electrical and pipe fitting. maybe Representative Dean, you're an architect. Could you come whip us up something? I just find it hard to believe we want to spend $9.6 million out of the trunk highway fund for granite panels. I just am shocked at this.
It's a hot topic here. You want to make a point?
Mr. Chairman, I think, as I understand the testimony we've had in committee, is that the panels are supported by metal irons of some kind. And the metal irons are rusting. And I want to take you back a few years. Way at the top of the Capitol, at the very top, there's little pillars that are marble pillars. Inside those marble pillars were steel bars that were put in as constructed. We replaced those pillars with stainless steel bars. And the cost of replacing those pillars was just about the same cost as what it was to build the Capitol building. And I think it was about almost $5 million to replace those. You have to keep in mind one thing as we talk about this, that building, whether we like it or not, is on the Capitol Mall. And that's why I fought so hard against having the Ag and the Health Lab on the Capitol Mall, because you have a different building standard. We also put some money a few years ago, 6 years ago, into the Highway Department to build to buy the building out in Roseville that was the old Unisys building. And that's metal, aluminum, bright shiny. I don't think that you'd want plywood or aluminum siding on this building in the Capitol Mall, nor would it be allowed under state law. So I know that, replacing the granite is kind of tough, but that's the building standards you've got on the Capitol Mall. It's going to be more expensive. And my understanding is, whether we like it or not, they would replace those metal supports with stainless steel metal supports so that they wouldn't rust again. Now, whether or not we want to do that is a decision we make, obviously, but we can't just put plywood on it or metal of some kind or vinyl siding on that building.
I would represent a broad as an amendment to put Cambria. Right, we don't.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would support that.
Well, I got to see which point we're on. Are you on the point to the point to the point, or we got to get Mahoney in here at some point?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I was the one that asked the original question. I'm just wondering, Mr. Chair, if someone can come back to this committee, because it doesn't seem like Chairman Seifert's committee got the information. I guess I would like to know a little bit about the proposal. What is included, if it includes replacing it with granite in the process, or if they're going to put Cambry on it, or what the process is. And I really commend you for questioning the rationale of spending now what, thank you, Representative Garofalo, brought to our attention that the state share was going to pay for the entire process, because I believe there's a number of county state aid engineers working in that building, local government aid engineers over there, and here we are. I don't know if the whole $44 million was paid out of state share, but if it was, I'm glad you looked into it, Representative Seifert. And I look forward to getting more information about this over $10 million.
Thank you. And if I recall, in conversation with former Representative Rhodes, who I believe is in the room and maybe could come down and address this, but I think they're just going to take the granite off, put a new stainless steel deal, I don't know what it's called, and use the same granite again, I believe. But
there's someone from admin here from the building division that maybe, I don't know, Jim, do you want to talk? Or whoever wants to come on down and give us a, I'm not sure the price is right, but we'll ask you to come on down anyway.
Welcome to the committee, former Representative Rhodes.
Hey, Mr. Chairman and members, I think I better let somebody explain it's much more adapted. I always tell the story, I was trying to find a stud in my house and put in seven nails to find a stud. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a stud finder. So I'm going to let, you don't want me putting up the granite walls, so I'm going to have our Assistant Commissioner for Facilities.
Thank you. Assistant Commissioner, please state your name for the record.
Nikki Ducola, Assistant Commissioner for Facilities in the Department of Administration. I just wanted to clarify that the Department of Administration looked at several options. And the one before you, replacing the clips and shelf angles and doing a reflashing of what's behind those granite panels, was the most cost-effective solution. But there were four others looking at the exterior. One was metal. I think it was about $400,000 more than this option. Granite, composite granite, several different ones. They were all more expensive than this, and $9.3 million is a lot, but it is a very labor-intensive process to take down every panel, redo what's behind it, and then put it back up again.
Thank you. If you happen to have some of those scenarios and you could share them with members of the committee that have interest, that might be great, and you could take a look at them, and when you stare at me, we come over and help out. We'll probably still be here. Is this on this point, Representative Kinda? We got poor Mahoney. He's just
okay,
wants to
no,
get
okay.
in here. He's a good guy, and Representative Mahoney.
Granite.
Were you ahead of Mahoney even, Dean?
No,
I didn't think so.
I think I would suspect that Representative Dean and I are somewhat on the same page here on this one. It's you know, the life of a building is only so long, and $44 million worth of remodeling on a building, the halfway mark in its life, when you go from one technology to a computer technology and you're putting in clean rooms and false floors to run all the refrigeration lines that you have to have for computers, or you did at that particular time, and all the fiber optics, it pushes the prices up. But in terms of just the replacing the granite, I got a 35-year-old siding on my house. I had to replace it. This building's got granite that's 40 or 45 years old, if I'm doing the math right. Maybe it's a little less. Maybe it's a little bit more. But to have iron exposed to the elements of that nature, it's not going to last. And you know, you want it to fall off at some point. I guess that's a decision the committee could make. But where's Henry Callis when we need him? I just want to ask Representative Seifert this question. I mean, is it that you and your committee is literally opposed to making that repair, or you're just opposed to the way that it was proposed to be paid for?
Right. Good question. Mr. Chairman, if I can reflect, what I think the majority of the committee felt was the strongest feeling was the trunk highway fund having leakage into non-highway purposes, which is what Representative Garofalo was bringing up. I think everyone on the committee understands something needs to be done with the building. but we didn't have time. This committee wanted the recommendations in a timely manner. We didn't have time to dig in depth. So what we did is we said no to the Trunk Highway Fund. We said neutral for doing it GEO and kind of punted it to your committee if you wanted to investigate it a little bit more. We realized something needs to be done. There's no doubt about that. I think the funding mechanism was the biggest issue.
Representative Dean, no, Representative Mooney.
Maybe this is for... I'm going to ask the yeah. Representative Seifert, but it might have to go to our finance person. With your negative rating for the highway bonds, if this committee was to come up with some compromise of a half and half or a third and two-thirds or something, does your negative preclude that?
Yes. The negative vote precludes this committee from using trunk highway bonds to pay for renovations.
Yes, and if we're going to close down options.
But does not preclude us from using general obligation funds.
Representative
okay.
Dean.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Seifert, I would just urge you that as you you look to the funding sources, that even though that these may be trunk highway bonds and you're looking for new material to clad the building with, that you avoid any bituminous materials as an option in going forward on that. But granted, maybe the best opportunity.
Representative Hausman.
No, I thought you needed to be able to.
Okay. Yep. Representative Kahn seeks recognition.
Yes. Well, it's just a question, which because it came up from one of the comments, which is someone said that this is this trunk highway funds or trunk highway bonds that are going to be used.
Someone
said funds, and I thought it was bonds. I know. If it were came from the trunk highway, someone made a comment.
The proposal was it would be trunk highway bonds,
okay.
Which would be paid for trunk highway funds. No,
that's what I didn't understand. Whether is it funds or bonds? I don't think so. Well,
is it bonds or funds?
Yeah.
But this little analyst says that it's bonds proposed. The renovation from the $44 million was out of the fund cash. According to Mr. Sousen, I believe.
Yeah.
So, but the proposal was for trunk highway bonds. And Mr. Walls, do you agree with Mr. Roberts on that? Okay.
That's very cool.
But we were negative on that, so it's got to compete with everything else under GEO.
Well,
no.
Just let me give an interpretation.
Interpret away.
Which is, and I don't know what the committee would decide, but if this committee decided that they wanted to include it. At that, I imagine they could send the issue back to the committee and ask them to reconsider it if they wanted to do that, which
correct.
The committee could either do or not do.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just,
right.
I just wanted to.
Okay.
As a proud moderate on the committee, I'm not sure, how that's going to fly, but we'll see how it goes.
Great. Are there other questions? No? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate
and appreciate it from... Admin, we're appreciative. Next and last, but certainly not least, our friend, Representative Holberg from Lakeville, to present the Transportation Finance recommendations. Representative Holberg, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this is the first time I've ever been to a bonding committee in all my years at the legislature, which might give you some idea of how many bonding projects I've carried. The recommendations, according to my understanding, is that you have the worksheet that we completed as a committee. The process that we use to put this recommendation together is each of the 10 members of our committee were given a worksheet that included the information on the left-hand side of the paper that you have, the Senate recommendations, the governor's recommendations, the House 2004 recommendations, and then they were given the task of spending $100 million, however they saw fit. Within the context of that worksheet. Prior to preparing the worksheet, I requested of my committee if they had any additional projects that weren't included in any of those three bonding recommendations to let us know for so that we could make additions. There were none. We then took the worksheets and put them together on this spreadsheet, as you can see, and on the third column from the right-hand side, the number of no votes. Committee members were allowed to put no funding if they wanted to make a negative recommendation, although they could also leave it blank if they were not going to put any money. They could still leave it blank and it wouldn't get a funding of no recommendation. The second to the end column is the number of committee members that actually provided funding for those particular projects. And then the overall average column is the average across the committee. Unfortunately, one of our committee members flunked math and did not spend the entire $100 million, so that is why you see the total cost in the far right-hand column at the bottom, not totaling $100 million. And so then they were anonymous, so I won't even be able to tell you who flunked the class. But anyway, going through the recommendations from the highest to the lowest, as you can see, the first recommendation was for the local bridge replacement fund. That received 10 committee members putting money into that project. The local road improvement grants also received 10 people supporting that program. The Rush Line Corridor Busway, this would be initial some studying and some park and rides for that project. All 10 of our members supported that. The next item is a provision by the Metropolitan Council for the Cedar Avenue Bus Rapid Transit. This is some planning money and also some initial investments in the facilities, and that was funded by 9 members of the committee. The Rail Service Improvement Fund, 9 members of the committee also supported funding for that particular provision, and that's a pot of money in which improvements for rail projects can compete for money. The Senate earmarked half of their appropriation for Wilmer. I did not ask for any earmarking for any projects in my committee that would traditionally compete in a pool of money for funding, and in fact didn't hear any local projects, and that was in consultation with Representative Leader, the lead Democrat on my committee. And those would then, and also the Port Development Assistance Fund, again, similar to the Rail Assistance Fund, in which different ports can compete for money. 8 members of the committee decided that that was worthy of funding. Into the medium priority, the North Star Commuter Rail Corridor, 6 members of the committee put money into it, 2 gave it a negative recommendation, and the Red Rock Corridor Transitway, 5 members of the committee supported that, as well as the Central Corridor Transitway. And then the City of St. Cloud had 5 votes for funding of that. That would comprise our medium priority items. In the low priority, receiving 4 or fewer appropriations would be the City of Duluth Aerial Lift Bridge, Lake County Forest Highway 11 project, the Department of Administration, in which the DOT exterior, which you've had some conversation just preceding this presentation. The committee was only spending GO bonds and doing this worksheet, not spending any trunk highway bonds. And so there were a few members that identified that as a priority. And then the Department of Transportation, Mankato headquarters building. And then we did have 1 negative recommendation, and that would be for the PRT project, in that 2 people funded it, but it received 6 no votes or no funding votes in putting together the process. So relative to the DOT exterior and the Mankato headquarters building, I was aware that the governor's bill did have some trunk highway funding in it, but the Senate did not. It was my understanding that the House bill would not have trunk highway bonding in it either, so that was, we didn't consider projects for trunk highway bonding.
Great, thank you for that overview. Are there any members of the committee that have questions or comments? And we see Representative Knobloch has one or the other. Representative Knobloch, question, comment, or both?
Question.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Holberg, I'm not sure if I understood that personal rapid transit. Is that a negative recommendation, which would mean this committee cannot fund it, or is that a no recommendation or a neutral recommendation?
Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Knobloch, six members of our committee identified that project with a negative recommendation.
Okay, so I guess you put, I wasn't quite sure when you had said if it was negative or no, which I wasn't sure if it was neutral or negative, so it's negative.
Those are negative recommendations, again, Mr. Chair, as opposed to just no funding. They had an option of not funding something and leaving that column blank, but they also had the option of marking it as no funding or blackballing it, if you will, and six members of the committee did that relative to the PRT project.
Thank you.
Are there questions for Representative Holberg? Yeah. Representative... Go ahead. Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holberg, very, very creative. I have a question for you. If people, I'm wondering about process stuff. And I'm wondering if someone had wanted to, obviously you did averaging here, but if someone had wanted to, and I don't know if anyone thought of doing this, or if it would have been allowed, had gone over the amount recommended for the project to up the average, or was that not allowed? Would that have been thrown out?
Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kelleher, they could do whatever they want. They got their $100 million, and they could go to town and spend it any way they'd like. But that being said, my committee has no freshmen on it. Of the 10 members, Representative Abrams is the only member of the committee that hasn't been on the committee before, and I felt like the committee was going to make big choices, and I'm hopeful that this committee won't be playing games, that they'll really be committed to making some headway in the transportation funding area. So,
And Representative Keller, we can see the vote. They're broken out there. So, but you're right. I mean, somebody could have stuck, $100,000 into the rail service.
Right. Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not speculating that someone would play games with that. If it's an averaging exercise, then actually I think someone would have been smart if they wanted to bullet on a project to have up their amount. I'm not questioning their motives here. I'm saying that it's an interesting way to do this. And I guess I have a further question. That is, your recommendation, the overall average recommendation, can you talk about that in terms of going forward as advice from your committee to our committee?
Sure. Representative Holberg, and then I think Mr. Walls has information he'd like to share with us.
Maybe
we should go to Mr. John, perhaps.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to clarify that was done in two cases. What Representative Kelleher is asking, the official request from the agency for local bridges is $28 million, and the official request for local road improvement grants is $10 million. You can see the averages were 34 and 18,
sure.
With almost all members across the board going above what the request was.
And, Mr. Chair, my question to Representative Holberg was just how she would advise the committee going forward in terms of the averages moving forward. What's your advice to us?
Well, Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kelleher, of course, we didn't have a target dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so the decision to use the $100 million, if you look on the left-hand side of the sheet, you can see the Senate recs were at 105, the governor's at 111, including some trunk highway. Ours were at 88, so I thought 100 was kind of in the ball game, and it also allowed for easy conversion if, in fact, the amount given to transportation was higher or lower. In turn, that could be transferred pretty easily. And also, by providing this committee the tally for all 10 members, you can see the level of support. My experience, while not having come to this committee as a committee chair before, definitely the Capital Investment Committee takes our recommendations, and I don't think I'd ever remember a time where our recommendations came out of this committee exactly as they were submitted by our individual division. So it's my belief that this committee will take the information under advisement. If they have additional questions, certainly to ask, but the feedback that I got from my committee members relative to this process was that they thought it was pretty fair, that it allowed everybody an equal voice, and some of them kind of liked spending $100 million in a day. So,
Well, I think particularly when you can see how they did it, and if they did that, it's out there in the open, and then as a committee, we can take that into account as we put those priorities together. So, Representative Stolberg.
Mr. Chair, and I want to call your attention to the Lake County Forest Highway 11. My understanding is the history of that project is that we appropriated the money like 4 or 6 years ago. The project was done, and the Department of Transportation gave the money to somebody else. Can someone clarify that for me?
Representative Holbrook, do you know that, or Mr. Walls, or can we get that information for Representative Holbrook before we go too far? Doesn't have to be today.
And the reason I say that is because it's been on the list for a couple of years, and my understanding is it was a mistake in the Department of Transportation. I think Mr. Walls can help me on it, or somebody can.
Sure. If not, we'll get you the answer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, you are correct. I believe there was a mistake made in that the appropriation was coded incorrectly and awarded to another project by mistake. There are some people here from MnDOT that could maybe speak to the issue, but I believe you're correct.
Briefly speak to the issue.
Well, Mr.
Can you get us a memo?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that the department, since they made a mistake or someone made a mistake, we should not be carrying this for 6 years and trying to make a wrong or right. I mean, it's not a new project. It's a mistake in the Department of Transportation.
Right.
Maybe they can take it out.
I'll ask Mr. Raines, Phil, before we come back tomorrow, could you just do a little research on that, and we'll come back and report tomorrow.
Sure.
Just find out where the heck we're at on that deal and what the history is.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I don't know a lot about this project. Representative Dill has been trying to meet with me. I think he started like last Thursday. And so
we'll get the
I know he has the information, and in working with him, I'd be happy to see if we can get a one-page explanation type of information sheet.
We've got Representative McNamara and Murphy. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holbrook, did you get testimony from MnDOT? I'm wondering, similar to what we had in this committee, about the availability of MnDOT to be able to award the local road projects in the coming year. They testified in this committee that they actually wouldn't be able to award any of that money in the coming year, but then testified about having, I believe, in the neighborhood of close to $40 million of the local bridge money on the books, ready to put out the door for bids.
Representative Holbrook, did you take testimony on that? Otherwise, I might be able to help you.
Mr. Chair, we did not take testimony. We only took testimony on things that had changed since last spring, as we had other things to spend our time on.
I did do a little checking on that, Representative McNamara, because it came up from a couple of other members. I think what the position of the Department of Transportation is that anything over $10 million, they would have some difficulty in getting into action immediately. And so I think that was a clear signal that at least for that account, maybe that's what we ought to do this year, and then take a look at additional monies in that area next year. That if we put $20 million in there, we may not see any more activity immediately.
But Mr. Chair, if I might, to that point, I think that our committee thought that this was an important fund, and whether or not it'll be included in an 06 bill or not, I don't know that my questions relative to the size of this year's bonding bill and if in size for next year have been resolved, and I think this committee should take the message from Transportation Finance that is an important funding program, that we'd like to keep money in that program to the at least to the level that they're able to send it back out again.
Right, and so I think the question, at least at the committee level, we talked about is how much can you get going right away versus how much will be, not that it can all be used eventually, but it was more of a how much, how soon question, and we'll weigh that certainly with the other priorities that you've brought with us. Mm-hmm. Representative Murphy is next on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairman Holbrook, do you think all your members on your committee have seen the aerial lift bridge?
Representative Holbrook.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I don't know that. I was in Duluth for a hockey tournament a couple of weekends ago, so I can speak for myself. But
they didn't see the bridge going up and down. I think we need field trips.
I ridden across it on my motorcycle, and I didn't like it, if that helps.
Did you really?
And Mr. Chair, if I might, speaking about motorcycles, I remember as a freshman when Representative Sopinski carried this bill, there were some of the more conservative members of our freshman class that provided for him a can of Rust-Oleum.
Even more needed.
How did the hockey team do, Representative Holberg?
Your daughter's team? I took third in that tournament, Mr. Chair.
That's your daughter's team?
That is.
Representative Holberg and I had a child on the same day. Not the same one.
You, Mr. Chairman?
I thought that would get you.
And how's your child's hockey?
He didn't play hockey. He's a swimmer. So
right.
Representative Holberg's daughter deals with it when it's frozen, and if it's not frozen, Christopher's swimming in it. So, but they both share the same date of birth. All right. Well, are there other questions, comments, or witty innuendo that we can add prior to letting Representative Holberg go? Seeing none,
thank you.
We very much appreciate
it,
and your time. With that, members, I think that we are wrapped up for the day, and the meeting is adjourned.